What seems to be your trouble?
I feel depressed. I know I should be happy, but I'm not. I just don't understand it. Instead of feeling happy, I feel sort of let down.
Thank you, Charlie Brown. The holidays are a time to relax, but for many people, they're a big source of stress or anxiety. We have a lot of assumptions about stress, from how common it is to how dangerous it can be. We're going to try to better understand the facts about stress here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The most recent Stress in America survey by the American Psychological Association found that more than 6 in 10 Americans reported that the current political climate is a significant stressor, and more than 2/3 reported that the nation's future causes them stress. Let's bring in psychologist Regan Gurung. He is a professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay. Regan, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with the basics, and that is, what qualifies as stress? What is stress?
The stress is one of those things that, even though you and I may have a very easy, everyday understanding about it, it's actually pretty tough to define because it varies so much with the individual. So over the years, with a lot of different research on it, the best way to take a look at it and define it is stress is anything that upsets your equilibrium. And that nicely captures the fact that what may be stressful for you is different for me. And I think that's a really critical component of stress, is that it's this, you and I, our bodies like this steady state, and anything that knocks it off this steady state puts us into a state of stress, and then we take actions to try and reduce that stress.
So what's actually happening inside our bodies when we're stressed?
So when we get stressed, and the stress is one of those things where it's this fascinating example of how our physiology and our thinking and our feelings all go together. So whenever we get stressed, there is this almost non-conscious activity where our body prepares us to deal with the stress. So from a physiological level, our body is doing all those things that will get us ready to cope with the stress. From an evolutionary standpoint, our stressors were very physical things. So, for example, we had to get away from an angry animal or people who wanted to take our stuff. And to get away, we either had to run or we had to fight. And that's why when we think about stress, we often think about the fight or flight response. And this fight or flight response is probably the earliest theories of stress. And it nicely it gives us a sense of what's happening at the physiological level, which is our body secreting chemicals that increase our heart rate, help us make us breathe faster, help us deal with get more oxygen into the system so that indeed we can run or we can fight. So when we get stressed, there are two things going on. There's this physiological activity with our body preparing for activity, either to run or to deal with it, and this mental cognitive activity where we are coming up with ways to actually cope with and deal with the stressor. And these two things are going on side by side and influencing each other.
How do people in very high stress jobs, I'm thinking first responders or people in military conflict, police, how do they deal with their own body's stressors in a job that is inherently stressful and will have, you know, really big highs and lows? How do they find an equilibrium?
Right. So I think one of the interesting things about first responders or even in the military is from a physiological level, our stress response is designed to get us ready for activity. So when you're doing that activity, you're actually using all those chemicals that your body is producing. The bigger issue is when you are sitting around and the stress is in your head. So here you are thinking about problems. Here you are thinking about, you know, maybe money issues or a presentation you have to give or a work deadline, but your body is not doing anything. So all these chemicals that are getting you ready for action are in your body, but you're not using them up. So if you are a first responder, if you are in the military and you are running towards something or being active, actually all those chemicals that your body's created for you are coming and being put to good use, which is one of the reasons why exercise is so good and physical activity is so good to cope with stress, because those chemicals that are getting your body ready for action actually get used up when you do physical activity and when you exercise. So it's that stress is being coped with from a physiological level. I think another part of the how do they cope with it is with practice, you develop coping strategies that help you cope with stresses that are repeated. And that's something that I hope we can get into, is that there are different dimensions of stress. How controllable is it? How predictable is it? And especially if it is something repeated that you have some sense of predictability for, it's easier to cope with it.
We're talking with Regan Gurung. He is a professor of human development and psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, talking about stress, where it comes from, and how we can do a better job of managing it in our lives. You're welcome to join in at 800-642-1234. What advice do you have for dealing with stress from family, financial burdens, and work? Have you learned to cope this time of year? Do you feel more stressful during the holidays? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Regan, what are the most common stressors for people around the holidays? Because we often hear that the holidays are a stressful time.
Yeah, you know, when you think about the holidays, this is one of those really neat examples of why you need a definition of stress that's not just, you know, bad things happening. Because after all, the holidays, there's a lot of good things and that can happen. I think when we get stressed, it's really our body being challenged in ways that we're not normally used to. So during the holidays, for example, a lot of things change. One of the biggest things that changes, I think, is how much control you have about your day-to-day life, right? During the holidays now, there are more demands. There's maybe holiday parties, there's family gatherings, and we move from having a lot of control on our day-to-day lives to having a lot less control because of having to interact with a whole number of different people. You add to that expectations. I think one of the most stressful things about the holidays is the expectations that we put on ourselves and that we perceive other people have for us. There was a great New York Times article recently about how the stress of preparing a house for a party actually led the hosts to injure themselves because they were so concerned about what people would think about their house that they worked so hard to repaint and clean and all that. And right there, that's one of those psychological things where the individual perceives or anticipates being judged, and that's stressful. And of course, that just goes up if for the first time in a long time you're meeting with family, especially if you have a history of, shall we say, turbulent family relationships. Just the fact that it's the holidays and then you may have to see some people will automatically increase those perceptions of stress and make your body react accordingly.
The word stress gets used a lot in our casual conversations, but stress can be a serious health problem, and people tend to carry more stress than they realize. We're having a conversation about how to identify stress and help relieve it. A recent study by Carnegie Mellon University shows that stress levels have increased by as much as 30% over the past several decades. Psychologist Regan Gurung stays with us, and he pays close attention to these studies. Your questions are welcome, 800-642-1234. What strategies have you come up with to make the holidays less stressful? What do you do when you feel sad or anxious? And how have you modified your old traditions? 800-642-1234. We'll get back to the conversation in a moment on the Ideas Network. We live in a rapidly changing world, and that can be stressful as well. We're looking at the causes of stress. what it does to us, and how we can improve our stress levels here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In a recent survey by the American Psychological Association, 44% of respondents reported that their stress levels have increased over the past 5 years. Stress affects young and old. Among adults, women tend to suffer higher stress levels than men. We're talking with Regan Gurung, a professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay. You can join in 800-642-1234. Have you identified the areas of stress in your life? Are you grieving a loved one and the holidays tend to trigger your grief? And what do you do to cope? The phone is 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Jim now, who's joining us from Watertown. Hi, Jim.
Well, let me start by saying thank you for this program. I've been dealing with stress for a while, but lately, new girlfriend, and then it's the holidays, which never have been very kind to me, and then there's their family, you know, doing the, well, who is this guy and what is he? So there's stress involved, as well as the, you know, what do I get for this person and that person? So thank you for the input on the exercise, which I've been just started working out again, and it's really been a big help. So, but, and there's the issue for the next question, and that is, okay, I can't go outside and work out when I'm dealing with, you know, a large family and Christmas and all that. So is there any other tricks to use to start to minimize the stress input? You know, you just can't shut down and pull into yourself and start reading a book, and you can't run outside and go to the gym. So
yeah, Jim's feeling a bit captive, Regan. How do you approach that?
Well, I think two things. The first, in terms of going outside, one of the things about exercise, and I actually like the word physical activity better, and it's a good one for all of us to think about, because it basically says all we need to do is get physically active. And, you know, Jim, you mentioned the word gym, you mentioned the word going to the gym, and I think often we think about, oh, I don't have time to go to the gym. But the reality of coping with stress is, as long as we can give ourselves some physical activity, that's actually pretty good. And here's one suggestion to keep in mind, and I'm saying this even being in Wisconsin, and I know it's cold outside pretty often. The reality of coping with stress is, as long as you can take yourself away from the stressor, that really helps you calm down and cope with it. And so one way to combine physical activity and removing yourself away from stressors or from things that are challenging your mind is, you know, put a couple of layers on and go for a mile walk around the block. So literally just go outside. Instead of spending time, so many of us, you know, distract ourselves with our devices or with social media. One of the best things we can do is to just put on some warm clothes and walk around the block, because that's physical activity enough to start using up those stress chemicals that are circulating through, especially during the holidays. If you are in a crowded household and, you know, with there are a lot of people around and it's getting pretty hectic, wow, take a few moments, go for a walk, leave your phone behind. Well, just distract yourself so you have that mental time, and that's probably one of the easiest things you can do. No equipment necessary, no travel to the gym necessary. Give your mind that break.
Jim, thanks so much for the call. Regan, the word control has come up several times during this conversation, and there is a lot of expectations that we do have this time of year, and we're trying to manage personalities and family and getting people together. But how much of stress is just about feeling unable to control?
Yeah, I think the inability to control your situation is a very large part of what's going on. And Kate, let me add to my answer something you brought up just before the break, which is without even knowing it, we get stressed. And I think something that we need to keep in mind is that even though we may not perceive something as explicitly stressful, just the fact that we have to deal with it may be stressing out or challenging our system. So very often, there are many things that we have to do. And because there are all these things we have to do, we may not see those individual things as being stressful, but they're adding up together and reducing the amount of control we have over our time. And the moment we have that less control over our time, about our abilities, automatically the challenge to our system is going up. So in terms of control, there are individual stressors that are uncontrollable, but there's also the amount of control that we like to have over our lives. And it's this non-conscious mental activity that's looking at all that we have to do and seeing if we can manage it. And as things add up, as they do during the holidays, that sense of control over our time tends to drop off and make things more stressful.
Is it really possible to readjust our expectations?
Yeah, you know, especially as a social scientist, as a psychological scientist, I've done a lot of work on exactly what you can do with your mind. And I think I'm really inspired by, or something that I keep like to reminding people of is, you know, as Shakespeare said, there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. and you know, that's really the case with stress. You know, it's how we appraise a situation. It's how we interpret a situation that can make all the difference. So yeah, how you think about it, literally changing the way you think about an event can determine whether that event is more or less stressful. And there are a lot of things you can practice doing as far as how you think that could influence how stressful an event or a season can be.
So what are some of those practices that we can do? Because our mind is a challenging place, right? I mean, our mind can play tricks on us, and our mind can do a lot of things. It can be that feedback loop. But what can we do to help shut it down a little bit, to help tame it?
Right. I think the most important thing is for us to recognize when we have, or the types of thoughts that we have. So all of us have automatic thoughts. I mean, we are designed. I mean, you know, whenever we approach a new situation, we're not always dealing with it from scratch. We have experiences. We have past experiences. And especially when it comes to stress, very often it's the automatic thoughts in our head that can make us feel more stressed. Especially in the terms of the holidays, you know, if you are preparing the house for visitors, if the automatic thought in your head says, I'm sure they're going to judge me, well, whether they're going to judge you or not, you think they're going to judge you, and that's going to be stressful. So the very first step then is to identify those automatic thoughts that we always have. And then once we identify them, come up with a counter thought. It's a big question of practice. Find out what we normally think and come up with an alternative or a way to change that. And in that way, I think we anticipate those stressors and we sort of we are proactive in coping with them.
Regan Gurung is a professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay. We're talking about stress, where it comes from, and how to get a handle on it. What stresses you out about the holidays? What strategies have you come up with to make the holidays less stressful? Join in at 800-642-1234. Regan, could there be other things going on when we feel this holiday stress? Could it be related to, for instance, seasonal affective disorder?
So seasonal affective disorder is one of those things that's actually been going through a lot of sifting right now, because about a couple of months ago, there was just a new study released that showed that seasonal affective disorder may not be as prevalent as we think it is. So I think we often think that in the winter, with the less sunlight, we feel lower. And there's been some new epidemiological studies that have been actually looking at the prevalence of feeling low. And it may not be as tied to the weather and the darkness as we think. Now, that said, there's no doubt that during the holidays, there is an uptick in how we feel. Is it exclusively the weather? Maybe not to the extent that we think, definitely for some individuals, but probably not to the extent that we think. What I think is clearer is that it's those expectations, it's the lack or the shortcomings in the amount of social support that we have during the holidays that I think can tend to make us feel worse during the holidays if we've had negative experiences in the past, especially you mentioned grief before. That's a big one. You know, if we've lost somebody recently, during the holidays is a time that we tend to think about them more because we have all those memories of them, and the holidays are filled with cues that make us think about those times when those individuals may have been there.
Perhaps you've tried guided meditation or deep breathing, exercise, healthy meals. Life can feel overwhelming and stressful at times. We're learning more about where stress comes from, how we can help control it with Regan Gurung. He is a UW Green Bay professor of human development and psychology. You can join in 800-642-1234. Do you feel stressed during the holiday season, or does it extend throughout the year? What are your questions about coping with stress, anxiety, and depression? You can call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation after a news update right here on the Ideas Network. The American Psychological Association's report, Stress in America, found that Generation Z, those who are between 15 and 21, are feeling the stress of the world that we live in. 75% of Gen Z members who were surveyed said mass shootings are a significant source of stress. We're talking about stress, where it comes from, how to help get it under control. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Psychologist Regan Gurung stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think stress is interfering with your life? Do you sometimes feel that stress is inevitable or unavoidable? Have you tried to figure out a better way to manage stressful situations? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. So, Regan, where we left off, you had briefly mentioned how grief can creep in during the holidays, and that grief can also be quite stressful. How does that impact how we feel?
Well, I think one of the most important things to keep in mind is that grief and depression aren't necessarily the same things. And I think this is really important because often when we see somebody missing somebody, we go, oh, no, they're just depressed. And while psychological science now shows that the actual experience of grief is slightly different from depression. So I think when we get depressed, when we feel grief, what's happening is there's this increase in different levels of neurochemicals in our brain that will actually color the way we see the world. And that's why when you take depression, there's a big difference between what we call clinical depression and depressed mood. It's feeling bad, but it's the severity of it that varies. Likewise, I think with grief, there are some cases of grief that can be so extreme that they completely color our experiences of the world and can in turn be a stressor interfering with how we cope with life.
So let's talk about your coping. Tell us about your chill, drill, build strategy for coping with stress.
Yeah, so, you know, when I think about stress and I think about, I always try to think about, you know, the best ways to cope with it should be based on the ways that cause stress. And as we mentioned or talked about earlier on, stress, for the most part, is a very physiological activity that also has a cognitive component. So there's the mental stuff that's going on, but there's all this physiological activity in our bodies. Whether it's any case of severe emotion, whether it's stress or anger, there's this physiological component where there are these higher levels of chemicals in our body. So in terms of stress, when we get stressed out, if somebody is very stressed, and if you measure, take a blood sample, you will see higher levels of cortisol. You would see higher levels of adrenaline and noradrenaline in their system. Now, these are indicators of stress. And these are those neurochemicals that are actually preparing our body for stress. But by having a high number of these circulating chemicals in the body, that even in the short term could influence our health. So when I think about coping with stress, I think we've got to acknowledge the fact that stress has this physiological component, and one of the most important things we can do is pull ourselves away from the stressor. So when I talk about chill and drill and build, there are the three main coping strategies that I see is, first, we've actually got to chill a little bit. And that here I mean pull ourselves away from the stressor. So we give our bodies some time for those high levels of stress chemicals to subside. So if we're in the thick of a stressor, those our bodies is being pumped full with these neurochemicals. By pulling ourselves away from the stressor, our body those chemicals subside. When we do physical activity, we use up some of those neurochemicals. Again, they subside. So by chilling and pulling ourselves away from the stressor, that's the first major step and probably the most immediate thing to do. The second thing is drilling. And by drilling, I mean practice. I think we've got to practice proactive coping strategies, and most simply, because it's so much of stress is thinking, we've got to practice better ways to think about our stressors. So, for example, I mentioned automatic thoughts earlier on. If we always have an automatic thought about the holidays, about how somebody's going to perceive us, we've got to prepare in advance those thoughts that we will think in response to those stressful automatic thoughts, and then we've got to practice them. Because if we don't practice them, they're not going to be working as well. So there are all, you know, when we think about mindfulness, when we talk about meditation, but even mindfulness, it takes practice. The moment you start a mindful practice or you try to calm yourself down, the first few times it's not going to work as well as if you practice it more and more. So another big category for me for coping is this drilling. Drill, practice, 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 and practice what you will do when you get stressed, when you're not stressed. Once we're stressed, it's really hard to do something different. So that's the chill, that's the drilling, and the build part is building social networks. In health and health psychology, for example, social support is perhaps one of the most powerful things we have to cope with stress. So by building our social networks, especially in advance of a stressor, that can really help us cope with stress. And when we do get stressed, turn to those supportive networks that you've built, that you've cultivated, and they can help us cope with the stress better.
But building social support can also be quite tricky, particularly if you've just moved, you're in a new place, or if you're an older adult and your friends have passed away, your spouse has passed away, and you could be introverted. And then there's technology, which also makes us feel more isolated. So what tips do you have for increasing our social support?
I think to touch on all those issues that you mentioned, I think one of the things that we can do, and I like the word cultivate, is we've got to think about the people who we do resonate with and make sure that we take the time and the effort to keep in touch with them. And it could be something as simple as out of the blue reaching out to this person who's a good friend and telling them how much you appreciate them. You know, don't wait for their birthdays. Don't wait for a specific day. You know, I mean, that's the thing about Valentine's Day. I'd like to think that every day is Valentine's Day. You know, you tell your spouse that you love her all the time. Don't wait for one day. And I think that's the thing with cultivating your networks is think about your friends. Take some time to literally sit back, think about who's important to you. And what's I think really fascinating here, Kate, is that it's not just what you actually receive, it's even your perception of support is important. So if I were to ask you right now, if you were very stressed, how many people could you email, message, or talk to? And I had you write down a list. Well, interestingly enough, if you did this right now, and if you're listening, the actual number of people you could think to write down will predict how well you could cope with stress. Literally, that process of having people in your head that you think you can go to, that's what's important. Even if you don't have to go to them, even if you did go to them and they may not be as good, us walking around with actual people we could think about who we could go to if we need to has been found to be one of those biggest buffers of stress out there. So, and I just find that fascinating that this perception of support, or having a perception of support, having the perception that there are people out there who could help us, actually makes us feel better and help us cope with day-to-day stressors.
We're talking with Regan Gurung. He is a professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay. And you can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What is the most stressful part of the holidays for you? What do you want to know from Regan about how to cope with a particular stressor in your life? You can call in at 800-642-1234, email ideas@wpr.org. So, Regan, what are some specific things people can do as they drill, as they practice in trying to cope with stress and keep it in check? You talked about mindfulness. What other things can they do?
So I think, you know, to pull together a couple of the things that we've talked about, physical activity is one of the best things you could do. I think mindfulness is, and even when we say mindfulness, I mean, what exactly is that, right? There are so many different things you can do. I think, especially in this day and age, one of the stressors is the multiple things that we're thinking about at the same time. You mentioned the APA Stress in America survey, and you mentioned Generation Z. And when you take a look at what stresses out, adults overall versus, you know, the younger generation, you see, especially, I mean, money, for example, it's 81% of Generation Z adults stress out about money versus only 64% of adults overall. That's a pretty significant difference. And I think right there, you put your finger on the fact that it's the mental things that we do that are stressing us out. So to tie that to how can we cope better, I think whatever we can do to stop ourselves from thinking about all these multiple things simultaneously, the better off we can be. And one of those answers actually is, I believe, limiting how much time we spend on technology. I think it's very, very easy to stress ourselves out by, checking out all these different forms of technology and exposing ourselves to things that may stress ourselves out. Reading the news is great, but I think by virtue of the fact that we often turn to technology to dive into it as a distractor, that's probably keeping us from doing better things with our head and coping.
Money and work continued to top the list of significant stressors tracked annually by the Stress in America survey for adults overall. That survey, by the way, came out this fall. We're talking with Regan Gurung. He is a professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay. And you can join in 800-642-1234. Give us your tips on managing stressful situations. Join in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back in just a moment on the Ideas Network.
Here's a look at the weather forecast as we start out the week. Mostly sunny today, breezy in the northeast. We'll have highs in the low to mid 30s. Tuesday will start out sunny with increasing clouds in the afternoon, highs in the mid to upper 30s. Wednesday, cloudy with a chance of rain, possibly mixed with snow in the northern part of the state, highs in the mid 30s. And for Thursday, rain in the morning, rain mixed with snow in the afternoon, highs in the mid 30s to near 40. This is WPR.
Coming up, it's a state capitol report. We look at the package of sweeping legislation that Governor Walker signed into law and a conversation with Congressman-elect Brian Stile. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. The right amount of stress can actually help us in our jobs to make decisions and to meet a goal. But when stress is constant and lasts for days or weeks, it can have a serious impact on our health. We're learning how stress is good and bad for the body here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Regan Gurung stays with us and is answering your questions about pressures and navigating stressful situations. He's a professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay. Our number is 800-642-1234. How have you learned to cope with stress? Are you helping a friend or family member through a difficult time? Are you trying to help carry their burden? And that could be stressful. You can call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Regan, we were touching a little bit on how money, bills, perhaps even our job can all feel significant stress and something that we can't control, especially financial pressures. So what can we do about pressures that we feel are completely outside our ability to control?
That's a perfect place to go, because I think even there, that's something that not enough of us do, and that is recognize what we can control and what we can't control. Very often, I think we obsess about things that we really don't have a lot of control over. So first off, I think we've got to do a better job in our own lives of realizing what we can control and what we can't control. For the things that we can't control, for those kinds of stressors, it's actually okay to focus more on your emotions. It's okay to do things that will help you reduce your anxiety. But on the flip side, if it is a stressor that there is some control over, avoiding it isn't the best way to go. And instead, approaching it and try to come up with ways that we can do something about it is a much better way to go. And this is something that I see in the stress research all the time, is that when we get stressed out, our very often, especially in the short term, our gut reaction is to try and avoid it, because we go, oh, if I don't think about it, then, well, I'll be less stressed. Well, for some controllable stressors, that's not the right way to go, because that stress is still going to be there. And you know, avoiding it may help us in the short run, but it's not going to help us in the long run. So I think, you know, if we think it's uncontrollable, well, then maybe we can look at different ways to cope with it versus if it is controllable. And I think here's where I'd like people to think about when we do need help with a stressor. I think there are three main categories that we can look to for help. We talked about social support earlier, even social support and types of stress. Sometimes we just need more information about something, and having more information about something will have us be less stressed about it. Sometimes we just need instrumental help, right? Maybe, you know, you're stressed about moving. Well, in a case like that, the more people you have to help you out will help you cope better. And of course, I think sometimes it's especially with uncontrollable stressors, just emotional support is the key thing that we need. And that's when activating those support networks that you have can be most useful.
When you say sometimes people just need more information in order to help control a stress, what do you mean by that? And where do you go?
Yeah, so you know, I'll give you a. I'm an academic. I teach in college. Very often, stress in the classroom is a student just not being clear on an assignment, and they're stressed because they don't know what's expected of them. Asking the instructor for more directions or more information about the assignment can actually reduce the stress. To take that as an example and expand it to day-to-day life, sometimes we're stressed because we're not clear what we have to do about in a situation. Maybe we have something due at work, and part of the stress could be that we're not exactly sure what is required of us. So asking for clarification, asking for clarity can make a big difference. And having that information actually helps our brains, our minds, our thinking come up with better ways to deal with it.
does it help us if we, when looking at something that is really stressful, perhaps a big project at work, does breaking it down into smaller steps actually decrease our stress?
Absolutely. And I'll be even more specific. Probably the most helpful way to reduce stress as far as projects go is to plan well. And by planning well, I mean breaking it down into smaller parts. But here's the key: anticipating those events that can distract us or make completing it difficult. My favorite example is being at work on a Friday and saying, oh, here's all the stuff I'm going to get done by Monday. Well, if you haven't explicitly thought about all the things going on in your weekend. Is there a game you're going to watch? Is there a family activity that's going on? If you haven't factored all of those things into your planning, well, you're not going to get your job done because all these things are going to keep you from doing it. So to reduce stress, good planning is the most important thing you can do. And part of that good planning is breaking it down into smaller parts, anticipating the barriers, and not just anticipating them, coming up with how you will deal with those barriers that could come up.
When do we know when we may need some perhaps psychological help or support from a therapist?
Well, I think, you know, it very often there are all of us feel down sometime or the other. The biggest question and the simplest answer to that question is when you're feeling down extends for longer than normal, and even that's pretty general. If you've been feeling really low for 2 weeks, that's longer than it should be. I mean, we all experience mild fluctuations in mood. We may have a day or two or 3 days where we feel pretty low, but if you felt low for some time, and here I say at least, you know, a week or 2 weeks, if you felt low for that long, that's probably a good time, you know, to think about whether there's something that needs some help there. Don't wait for months. You know, nobody should be feeling very low for a month without thinking about whether they need some help with that.
And how can we identify which coping mechanisms we use are healthy and which ones might not be so healthy or so beneficial? How can we trade out unhealthy things with healthy things?
Well, you know, I think let me be explicit about some of the healthy things and some of the unhealthy things. I think very often when you take a look at mechanisms and how people cope, right off the bat, I can tell you some of the unhealthy things that people often do is using alcohol as a coping mechanism. I mean, that's a documented coping mechanism. People will actually say, I'm feeling low, I'm gonna drink more. That's definitely an unhealthy coping mechanism that over the long term, and actually even in the mid to short term, is not the best way to go. Focusing on the healthy coping mechanisms, and especially as we look ahead to the next 3 weeks of December, right off the bat, right here, right now, I can tell you the single best thing we can do to help the next few weeks go better is sleep more. That is probably the best thing you can do for yourself is sleep more, because that's one of those things that paradoxically, when we are stressed because of deadlines and having to do so much, we actually sleep less. And that's the worst thing you can do. The moment you sleep more, both from a physiological level, from a cognitive level, it is helping you and helping you cope better. Right up next to sleep more, eat better. Over the holidays, again, ironically or paradoxically, I could say, as we get more stressed during the holidays, we then let ourselves eat more things that we otherwise wouldn't eat. That's not great either. I mean, don't get me wrong. Treat yourself to some of those, you know, salty, fatty things, sweet things every once in a while. Absolutely. But one of those things that you see in the stress research is that to cope, sometimes people will turn to eating things that they normally wouldn't eat. They would sleep less. Yeah.
Well, Regan, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Regan Gurung is a professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay. And you can catch more from Regan later this week on Central Time, whether you were once part of the Beatlemania wave, maybe plastered your bedroom walls with boy band posters, or can't get enough of a certain sports star, being a fan feels catching. Join us Thursday at 3:30 to talk about the science of being a fan and tell us what you enjoy being a fan of. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.